All right, we're teaching on the life of faith, the life of faith. Now let's start reading. I'll start reading at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The life of faith. Now, we had our dear friend Bishop David Oyedepo come here, and he said something that, I mean, I just will never forget it. He said, if your faith has no proof, it's a fake. It's a fake. Praise God. So we not only should have faith, but our faith should be doing something. It should be working for us. Say amen to that. Now, as we look at this, we have gone some distance with this whole idea of faith. One of the things that faith does is that faith transcends the seen reality. Whatever is seen or temporal in our life or in our affairs, faith transcends that. And faith affirms a reality that goes beyond reasoning and intellectualism. Faith does. That's why oftentimes people talk about faith and that faith doesn't make sense. Well, at the same way of looking at that, sense knowledge doesn't make faith. And that's why you got to watch sometimes bringing things down too low, because you bring it down too low, the mind will grab it and try to reason with it. And now you're in trouble, because it's going to try to make sense out of it. And you can't make sense out of it. I mean, it's very difficult. And so faith opens up a world that exists before time. Before time. If God had not given man faith, he would have no way of seeing back into the world that he fell from. And there is a world out there. So let's talk about that first. Faith dominating time. Let's talk about that. If you look over here in Romans chapter 4, and in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, you've heard this expression and read it in the scripture. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It's evidence of something not seen. It didn't say it's evidence of something that doesn't exist. It's just not seen. Got it? So faith gives proof to something you can't see with a natural eye. Meaning, proof means it's already there. So it's already there. Your healing is where? Already there. Your financial rescue is already there. Your deliverance, come on, is already there. So there seems to be no future in faith. that once I start dealing with faith, I've got to reorient myself in the natural progression of time. Because as it was existing before, time was not meant to rule man. Mankind was meant to rule time. That time was an element just like anything else. Now, it's an interesting thing about time. If you don't control it, it'll control you. And it is like a cruel taskmaster. Sometimes it'll even string you out mercilessly until you run out of time. Now, he was saying here that God calls things that be not as though they were. And the reason why God has no future is because future would say that this thing is gonna be. But if it already exists, why would I say it's gonna be? Are y'all with me? All right, I'm gonna come back there, so just put something right there. Second Peter, please, Second Peter, and just look at this. Now, this understanding of time will enable you to grow in faith by leaps and bounds. And this is simple to understand. It's just that you gotta renew your mind to it. Look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, what does he mean by that? He is saying here that God has no time, that time to him is not as we know it. It's event driven. It's one day to him is just like 1,000 years. One day to him is just like 1,000,000 years, because every event has already in his mind taken place. So he can already, he knows tomorrow, because tomorrow in him is not a function of time. Got it? So he put time in the earth as a resource. All right? All right, y'all stay with me now, because we doing something with your mind on this. We are trained to think and see and speak in time. But as long as you see time, it's hard for you to operate in faith. Now, are you still with me here? All right. So, God, we were made in his image after his likeness to function just like him. So he's teaching Abram now, Abram, this is the way you're going to get some kids. You're going to call things that be not as though they were. Abraham asked God in Genesis 15, said, hey, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And Eleazar, you know, is steward of my house, so forth. He said, come out here and look at the stars. He said, now see those stars? So shall thy seed be. Now God has seen all the kids that came from Abraham. And he's giving Abraham a picture of it. Because he's got to move Abraham into a place where he can see something that you can't see with the natural eyes. You have to see it by faith. And he has to move him into a place where he is willing to offer up his son. Yes, yes. Yes, Come on to Hebrews chapter 11 again, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you're going to find that if you can get a revelation of time, that you'll find that the same law that controls time controls space and matter. Same law. All right, look what it says. Now, am I getting too deep for you here? All right, look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11. I read it before. Verse 17. By faith, when he was tried, offered up who? Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, who else did that? God did. See, so Abraham had to do that because he had to prove his ministry that God could do the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, look what it says here. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to do what to him? Raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him, how? In a what? In a figure. So he had, in his mind, eye of faith, he had received Isaac as a son, having by which Abraham's seed would come through. He didn't see him dead. He saw him alive. See, when you see time, he is saying here that you'll never give your best or your last. As long as time is progressing in your mind, you've got to get beyond time. And faith is always when? Now. It's always present. It is never future. And if you ever see future, you're not in faith. You got to stay with it until faith comes. And faith sees this thing done. And you can't see it in your natural eyes, so stop trying to see it in your natural eyes. Now, if God shows it to you, that's fine. But you normally can't see it in your natural eyes because what you're believing for is still in the eternal realm. And the eternal realm is a realm that's invisible. The temporal realm is a realm that you can see. So God says, while we look not at the things which are what? Seen, which is the temporal, but at the things which are what? Not seen, which is the eternal. And faith gives you the ability to grab hold to the revelation that gives you access to a realm that you can't naturally see. You got it? And so when I was, again, working for this computer company, so I meditated on Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 30, and I meditated that until that reality of me, because I was trying to leave the job, but that job was paying me so much, and it was so forth and so on, and it was just, I didn't have enough faith to leave. But once I got a word from God to meditate that, I meditated that scripture, and what was in that scripture says, no man that has left house, mother, father, sister, brother, land, for my sake in the gospels, that includes job, but he shall receive 100-fold when? Now, see, I had to meditate that. So once I did, pretty soon that scripture became more real to me than where I was at. So where I was at seemed like to me to be a lesser of my choices. So I called my wife and said, baby, I'm leaving this company. She said, praise the Lord. Now, that's the way, boom, I got out. Now, the people who were around me said, hey, Bill, I heard you were leaving. Yeah, Bill, I wouldn't leave now. You know, the economy's bad and so forth and so on. What were they doing? They were seeing the temporal. All right, praise God. Satan knows that if he can keep you in time, he can keep you into a place where he is most effective. He hates you to leave the temporal. Because he knows once you do, then you have left his domain. And you are now operating in a realm that has dominion over his work. Are you following what I'm saying? So it doesn't make any difference. So faith is, Lord have mercy, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. So this is something that you cannot see, but it's real anyway. Oh, I'm telling you that. All right, maybe I need to go to somebody else so you can get it. All right. Now, Jesus, he operated this way. Now, I know we put a lot of things on Jesus saying, you know, that was Jesus, you know, Jesus can do that. I can't do that. That's Jesus. But what he was doing, he's saying, the things that I did, you can do too. All right? So let's just look at Jesus here. Now, we're looking at this in lieu of time because we're talking about faith, and faith has no time. Once we come into the law of faith, we leave the law of time. And the law of faith dominates the law of time. All right? Are you with me? So here is Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Now, if you're having trouble swallowing this, it's only because you're still trying to figure it out in time. What have we been trained to do? Wait on payday. Well, that's all time. That's all time. Folks, the only thing that stands between you and $1 billion is time. See, I'm thinking I got to give it time. That's when we are going to pay off our jet. I need to give it time. God said, no, how long? I said, well, let's give it about 3 years. He said, 3 years? How about 3 months? I said, 3 months. Now, notice, I'm thinking time, see. I'm thinking I got to give people time. But if I'm in faith and I can get you in faith, we can override time and we can shrink 3 years down to 3 months. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's with you, that's with anything. Because notice, it's all time. It's running out of time. Pay me on time. I'm going to evict you if you don't come up with the money on time. It's all time. But if I could regulate time, I can tell people what they're going to do to me. You can't do nothing to me with my faith at work. Look what he says here. This is John chapter 8. Are you with me? All right. Look what he says in verse 54. No, I'll start at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. There it is right there. Let's keep going. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And how hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said, you don't understand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There ain't no future in there. Come on, I am. I got some I ams in here somewhere. Now, you got to see this because Jesus constantly is trying to get them to understand their dominion over time because that's a function of your faith. But let's go to John chapter 11, please. Now, John chapter 11, I think you know the scripture. This is where a man named Lazarus had died. He was a friend of Jesus, and they had kept him at their house for some time, and he had died. Well, they couldn't understand why Jesus didn't just jump up and run to the tomb site. Or to his house. Well, pretty soon a runner came and said, hey, pretty soon Martha came. Verse 21, look at verse 21, all right? Here's Jesus now. He comes to the place where they were. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask God, he'll give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Now she's talking what? Time. Jesus said, resurrection, Jesus said to her, well, wait a minute now. Come on with it. Come on with it now. I am. Now you got to see this now. The resurrection. See, when I show you this now, you're going to be finding it all over the Bible. For people to get action from God, you see, let me give you a word that I got here. God never responds to anything but faith. Yes. Write it down. You will have to have faith in His mercy or faith in something. Got it? Now, look what it says here. And he says this, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Watch this, and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Now you believe this? All right, now what am I saying to you? I'm saying that here is faith that he's about to use to override time. Because the time has passed for Lazarus, and he's now dead. But Jesus is going to bring him back alive. And Jesus is saying something about himself. He is saying one time, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Now think about it. When I cross this line, Brother Copeland and I were talking, he calls it the timeline, or he calls it something. But when I cross this line, this now I'm in the eternal. And in the eternal, I can see everything. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Folks, that's why when the glory hits in a meeting, in Catherine Coleman's meeting, see, you start those meetings around 9 o'clock at night. And the man said, when he comes out of the meeting, daybreak. And he wonders where all the time went. It was like it was a half hour. Because time stands still. All right, now, let's look at this, because you got to see this. Now, I'm giving you now the life of faith, because when you start talking about faith, you got dominion over some things. You've got dominion over all these things, including time. Let's take another one. Let's go to the life of Enoch. Let's go all the way back now to, let's go to Hebrews first. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, because Hebrews talks about Enoch. Enoch, say, I have dominion over time. Enoch. Okay? Now I'm saying that God has given some, the physicians have given some sister, 6 months that she'll be healed. Got it? However, I'm coming now with this faith that I can apply this faith and take dominion over 6 months. And I can make it 6 minutes. I can make it 6 seconds. I can make it 6 milliseconds. Got it? Now, we got to start thinking like this now, because we got to change some things in this earth. Say amen to that. All right? Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated. That he should not what? See death. And was not found because God had what to him? Translated it. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. Well, how do I please God? The next verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because for he that cometh to God must believe, Lord have mercy, that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I won't go through all of that, but you got the gist of it. So he's talking about Enoch. Now what did Enoch do? Well, let's go back and look at the life of Enoch, because we're talking about the life of faith. So we need to look at all these people and see how they use faith, how Mary used faith, how Enoch used faith, and so forth. And all these things will start building another picture inside of us of how the faith walk really is. Because if your faith has no proof, it's a fake. It's got to be producing something. All right, let's go back to, where do I have it? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. See, now we're going to be able to use this in the days ahead. Because it was a time that you and I had to wait on things. But we're going to find out how to use our faith and don't have to wait anymore. I was, the other day, I had to leave Sunday service and go down over to Ohio to preach. So we had chartered jet there. And it came there, and here we were, because I had to go, right home, take a shower, boom, because they had a 5 o'clock service there, and so forth. And so I got in the airplane, and they closed up and everything, ready to go, all set up, you know, so forth. And they said, trying to start number two engine, and it wouldn't start. I said, okay, what manner of devil is this? And so still wouldn't start. Now, this airplane had just been in recondition, so forth and so on, and they had a new paint job, new interior, everything. And so it was obvious that the person took care of it, whatever. So, boom, wouldn't start. So he tried it again. So I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, you start. I said, try it one more time. He tried it one more time, wouldn't start. Spewing out fuel all in the back. He said, it looks like the starter is gone out in number two engine. All right. Now, normally, the question is asked, what am I going to do now? Now, when you ask that question, it means that you're appealing to your intellect. And ain't but so much in that head. So you may as well leave that. Got it? And if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Got it? Okay, and it shall be given him. So I said, okay. Now Isaac was with me. I said, no, we're going to have to bind the devil on this thing. And so forth. So the guy, and I don't know whether he tried it again or whatever, but he tried it 6 or 7 times, and it was just gone. So what are we going to do now? I said, all right, why don't we look and see if there's another charter jet coming into this location, this FBO. He looked on there, and they had their little iPad and newfangled technologies, and nothing. I said, try O'Hare, try DuPage, try Palwaukee, nothing. Okay? All right, Lord. What am I going to do? Now, this is when God gave me this. God never responds to anything but faith. So, now I'm saying, Lord, all right. You know I got to get there. I said, all right. Here's what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to believe you for this. I said, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to be leaving this airport within the hour. And I'm going to get there. Now, I understand they're calling. Are you off the ground yet? I said, Isaac, don't lose anything that I'm going to have to slap you for. No, I didn't say that. I said, no, Isaac's a good man. I said, Isaac, now watch your words. Watch your words. He said, yes, Pastor. So Isaac, he was fumbling around. I don't know what they thought he was saying, but I think he went off into Spanish. I said, but you can't talk against it, see? Because your words, by your words you will be justified. Or by your words you will be condemned. So I said, okay. So the guy said, he went inside, said, Pastor, I don't know what to tell you to do. We can have another airplane here, but the minimum time they'll get here is 2.5 hours. I said, that's unacceptable. It would be gone by then. He said, I said, just rest yourself. So I began praying the Holy Ghost a little bit. Spirit said, just claim what you want. I said, all right. I said, Isaac, if they call again, tell them that we'll be off the ground in 1.5 hour. Okay. Now understand, I don't know how we're going to be off the ground. But this is outside of my natural mind. So I don't need to know how. So what did I do? This is a true story. This just happened. I said, praise God. Well, then an airplane started taxiing up. Corporate jet. It was a large Learjet. And I said to the pilot, I said, what about that airplane right there? Now, understand, he asked me, did I want to get off the airplane and go inside the FBO? I said, no, you got some catering on here. Give me my sandwich. I'm going to sit here and eat my sandwich. Now, you got to do that because fear will negate your faith. It will negate it now. All right, so I took a sandwich. I just chewing on it. Didn't taste a bit of it. Just chewing on it, just ate it. Now, I had to act on it. So then what happened? He said, I said, what is that right there? He said, well, I'm not sure what airplane that is. I said, well, why don't you check and see? So he went in, thing, his pad didn't have anything coming in and so forth. Why? Because it came in from outside the country. So I just called. They said it just came in from outside the country. I said, well, the customs got to go over there first. When they come back, when they do the customs work, then go over there and see, is it a charter jet? Because some of them are private jets from different companies. Well, what did I do? Okay. They customs left. He ran right over there. Well, it just so happened that the pilot in command was a friend of his. Now it's starting to unfold. And then he tells them what the situation is, and the friend of his and him walk in the FBO. So I'm leaving it to God now. I'm letting him work it out. They walk in there, and then he came back out and asked me, do you have a credit card? I said, okay, yeah, I got a credit card. Pulled out American Express, went inside, came back out, said, no, they don't take American Express. I said, okay, what? Give me a Visa, a message. I said, here, and gave him that. He came back out. He said, okay, now, they said as soon as they just get top off and fuel, they're ready to go. I said, okay. I said, now, understand, that was a Lear. Lear is built differently because it goes faster, really. It's built like that. It doesn't carry much fuel, and that's why it stays alive. I said, well, praise God. So got on the airplane, took off. I got to the meeting, everybody on their face praying. Had a powerful meeting. Matter of fact, when I got in the pulpit, I had to tell them, I said, I am drunk as a skunk up here right now. I said, I'm having problems standing up here. I mean, the anointing was so heavy on me and so forth. Had a powerful meeting. Came on up from over there, eating sandwiches and just enjoying myself, and came on home, went to bed. Now, what did that? Faith. And it overrode what? Time. Now you got to understand that, because you have dominion in this earth, not your circumstances. Not your circumstances. You have dominion. Now use it. And act up, stand up like you got some authority or something to say about your future. Because your future is not out, it's up. It's already done. God has already delivered you. It is not up to God to do this. I'm telling you. When the woman with the issue of blood got healed, notice what Jesus said to her. Daughter, what? Thy faith hath made thee. He didn't say my power. He didn't say God's will. God did. He didn't say nothing about that. He said your faith. Your faith is going to get you that. Your faith is going to get you in that place. Your faith is going to do that. Your faith is going to get you healed. Your faith. God has already healed you. He has already delivered you. He has already put your marriage back together. He has already, because he is a good God and he has already made plans for your success. No, your faith reaches out and takes hold of everything that he's got for you. And it'll do it every time. Every time. If it happens again, it'll do it again. I was over in Africa and one of the engines wouldn't start. I said, wait a minute. I ain't about to be stuck up over here. I said, now and my pilot said, Pastor, it looked like something we just gonna have to be try to get you in the. I said, no, sir. No. I said, I'm getting out of here and I'm on time and don't you say that no more. That's what I tell them. You know, sometimes they don't understand what they're saying, but you gotta shut them up and threaten them with their paycheck and so forth. But I'm telling you, see, because this thing we're in is a war. And the enemy would love to discourage me from preaching the gospel. But I cannot be discouraged because I'm not under his control. I'm under the control of the Holy Ghost. My Lord. God never responds to anything but faith. If you can just remember that from the night, you're doing really good. You with me? Faith means I have left the sense realm. What I'm about to do does not make sense. Say amen to this. All right, look over here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and beget Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he beget Methuselah 300 years and beget sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God did what to him? He took him. And you've heard people at the funeral, well, the Lord took him. Do you realize that anybody in the scripture that the Lord took, he took alive? They weren't dead. All right, coming over to Jude. Jude is right before Revelation. Coming over there. Amen. Come on, I want you to be faith giants. Well, you are faith giants. I'm just setting your faith on fire. That's what I'm doing. I'm igniting your faith right now. Well, I want you to go out here calling some stuff. And praise God, I will have that apartment tomorrow at 4:00. This is mine. I am healed. Did you will not say that anymore to me. No, I will get that promotion. That promotion belongs to me, and I will get. I'm saying we got to say something about what goes on in this world. Look what it says here, Jude chapter 1, but one chapter in Jude, okay. Look at verse 14, we're still talking about the life of Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from who? Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000, come on, of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Look what he's saying. And Enoch, it says here, seventh from Adam, he prophesied saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, where did Enoch get that from? Yeah, but I mean, wait a minute. He could see something. He could see something. He was talking about what he saw. Now, he was at the beginning, seventh from Adam, and he was talking about what's going on in Revelations. Are you following what I'm saying? Because it's already dark. Folks, it's in the eternal. Amen. Enoch, I don't think he was anybody special. I don't think he had any more ability than anybody else. He just knew how to use it. And he got so high till God just took it. Said, come on, man. Say amen to that. It's powerful, isn't it? All right, now, let's just finish one more. Let's do the life of Job. Y'all like that. You know, folks always talk about what Job lost. Why don't they ever talk about what Job gained? All right, now let me just give you just a little piece of this. And this is Job. And look here at Job chapter 1, if you will. And let me know when you get there. You there? All right. Job, verse 10. Look at verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for naught? You have, has not thou made a what about him? A hedge about him. So God made a hedge about him and God blessed him. Now blessing is a whole... that's an Eden blessing that he received. But let's look here, because this hedge came down around his life. And the hedge didn't come down around his life because God did something to it. Because he said over here in verse 21, he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, keep going, and the Lord has taken away. Keep going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, where does faith begin? Faith always begins where the will of God is known. You cannot get faith until you know the will of God. The will of God is the word of God. So Job is thinking the devil did it to him. And look what happened here. And it says here in verse, turn to chapter 3, very quickly, I'm out of time. Chapter 3, have you got it? Verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has what? Come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is what? Come to me. I was not in safety. Neither had I what? Rest. Neither was I quiet. Yet what came? Trouble came. All right. Let's put something right there and turn to Proverbs, if you will. And Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Are y'all learning something tonight now? Now, we're not talking about foolishness or presumption. Dr. Price has a great book out on that. But we're talking about faith, real faith. Okay, don't be trying to fake nobody. It's real faith. All right, look what it says in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth a voice in the streets. She crieth in a chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Watch this. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, this is interesting. He said, wisdom won't come to you when you're going your own way. When you persist on going your own way, wisdom will just leave you. And also, you cannot get wisdom while worrying. Are you with me here? What are we going to do now? That's a worry statement. So you got to watch that, because that fretting and fear will cause wisdom not to come, and faith accesses the wisdom of God. Now, let's just go over here. Lord have mercy. Go back to Job quickly, and look what he says. He said in verse 26, I was not in safety, neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. No wonder you were in fear. No wonder you were fretting. No wonder you were worrying about money. No wonder. And I'm saying that God wants to deliver you, but if you let fear hold you up, it'll block the door to your deliverance, and you won't have deliverance from God for what He wants to do. Say amen to that. So Job said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, and these things which I greatly feared have come upon me. Look at Job chapter 6, please, and Job chapter 6 and verse 23 and 24. He's starting to figure it out now. He found out that his tongue was part of his problem. He said, oh, verse 23, oh, deliver me from the enemy's hand. Now he's figuring out it wasn't God. Or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. He's calling the devil the mighty. Teach me and I will hold my what? Tongue. Now cause me to understand where I have what? Erred. So now what am I saying? I'm saying fear versus faith. If you're ready to get delivered, get back over in fear so that God will give you wisdom so you can find the way out. Because you're going to have to, as some people say, you're going to have to deliver yourself from captivity. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Over in Job chapter 42, come on over there, please. Job chapter 42. I got to quit because I'm out of time. Job chapter 42. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. All right. Look at verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? Prayed. Come on. For his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job how much though? Twice as much as he had before. So before, Job thought it was God that had him. Then he started figuring out it's not God. Now faith is coming so that Job can get himself delivered. Over in the book of James and James chapter 1. Could you put James chapter 1 on the board so I wouldn't have to have everybody turn there? And look at James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, I am tempted of God. For God will not tempt or test or try be tempted with evil, neither will he tempt any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust and enticed. I'm just saying it wasn't God who pulled the hedge down in Job's life. It was Job with his mouth, with his worrying, and you can't worry about nothing. For your days of worrying from now on are over. You are not going to worry about anything. You're going to think on things that are good and perfect and true and honest and just and so forth. But faith begins where the will of God is known. Notice what happened with Jehoshaphat. Here he was surrounded, and so he sent some of his runners to the prophet Isaiah to get a word from him, and they gave Isaiah a word. Isaiah wrote a word down and said, send this back to the prophet that you'll not have to fight these battles, but God's going to lead this man back to his own land, and he's going to fall in his own land. 2 Kings chapter 19. So what did he do? He took that prayer, he took the word of God, took it, opened it up,
up, came into the temple, and began to pray the word of God before God. And I'm telling you, a lot of people praying the problem, and you should be praying the word of God. God knows what your problems are before you even had the problem. But now you're going to pray the word of God, because God cannot deny himself. And when you pray the word of God, God's hand is moved. Say amen to that. Because you are having faith in God. So now I'm just letting you know that we learn a lesson. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 talks about the fact that the scripture is valuable to teach us and for reproof and so forth and so on. And so now understand, we're under a new covenant. Now the old covenant, it came that there was no intercessor, but that's not true. So in the new covenant, because in the new covenant in Ezekiel and chapter 22 and verse 30, you know the scripture, that I sought for a man among them, keep going, that would make up the hedge and stand in a gap before me for the land, that I might not destroy it, but I what? I found none. But I got good news. Let's go to Hebrews and we're done. Hebrews chapter 2, please. We've had an intercessor now. We got a great intercessor. I said, we've got a great intercessor. All of us have missed it some way and somehow, but you don't have to fall when you miss it. God has somebody praying for you. And the prayer starts with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says here that verse, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him, it might to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful, come on, high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Succor means to run to the aid. It means to relieve. It means to assist. That God is coming. Jesus is right there to pray for you. How do I know that? Because put it up on the board, please. Romans chapter 8, please. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Come on, put it up on the board. Praise God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also, come on, making intercession for us. So when the hedge goes down in your life, right away Christ comes to your assistance. Christ begins to speak to somebody in the earth. They begin to get out of the bed and get on their knees. All of a sudden, the hedge begins to come back up in your life. God begins to enlighten you, and you say, Lord, I repent. I see what I did, and you can go free without having a scar or a bruise or any such thing. Give the Lord a praise. All of it's by faith. All of it's by faith. Did you get something out of that now? Oh, yeah. If you read the first four chapters of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you'll see that he said it's better not to even been born under the old covenant, because the new is so much better. He said, hey, we had no defense against the enemy in the Old Testament, but now we have a gap stander and not a gap finder. We got somebody that'll stand in the gap for us. We just loose some words that we shouldn't have lost loose, and here comes the hedge start going down. Satan is right there ready, because he's waiting on your tongue. But the hedge gap stander began to come up with a gap again and began to hold him back. Praise God. Isn't this wonderful? God is a merciful and faithful high priest. If you're here tonight and you need to be born again, I want to pray with you right now. Now understand, I'm not asking you, did you go to church before? Because you can be in the church and just like standing in the garage, that don't make you a car. You got to be born again. So if you're here, you know that in your life you're not right with God. But you say, I'd like to be. I'd like to leave this place a changed person. I got to get rid of all this guilt and heaviness and so forth. You're where I was years ago. And in my life, I just made up my mind, I can't keep living like this. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He came into my heart and changed my life totally.
What he did for me, he'll do for you. He healed my body, took me totally out of debt, took me to the top of the ladder in sales and IBM. I'm telling you, God is a winner. I mean, he'll make it happen for you. So if you're here, you're saying, hey, I want to change. I want a brand new start. This is your night. I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that tonight or do it when God gives it to you. I'm asking you tonight, just come and join the family of God. Leave this place with a brand new attitude and a brand new life. If you're ready for it, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I'd like you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up and stand with me right here at the altar. If you want. Stand with me right here. Good to see you. Just face me. You can just face me. Okay. No, just turn around.